One of the questions that I have been asking during this Christmas season is Jesus relevant today? The passage that we have been focusing on from the beginning of the Advent season is the one that we read at the beginning from Isaiah chapter 6 or 9. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It's just because when you think too many things. That's where I said not the wisest one. The verse that we focused, that's on the screen there in a small corner, which says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Not that we have read this verse for the first time, for most of us. Not that we don't understand any of this, because if you have been someone who has been part of the church life, who has been walking with the Lord, we all have experienced that. But still the question is Jesus relevant today? You know, interestingly, the question, I focused on this even more because when I looked at this verse and looked at the context in the story where this verse was told, that raised even further question, why did even Isaiah said this verse to them? Let me give you a context of what was happening when Isaiah dropped this message on them. So, a quick, brief, quick history lesson. Israel, nation of Israel, a big nation, King David, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, three kings. Then they had a fight. They said, "Fine, we are brothers, we cannot stay together." They divided in two nations, nation of Israel and nation of Judah. So, in the nation of Judah, there was a king and King Ahaz. And then this whole nation of Judah was at the brink of war because people of Israel or the nation of Israel had joined their hands with another nation and said, "Yep, let's have a fight." So they were at the war. They were at war with Judah. And they were not really sure what they should be doing. So if you read stories in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we see that King Ahaz did what was most rational and logical thing to do. He called the superpower, not God, superpower, earthly superpower. He got in touch with King of Assyria saying, "Hey, would you like to help me here? I just need a few more sticks, few more guns to go and fight with them." But in that context, Isaiah comes to them saying, "Don't trust an earthly king." And in that situation, where they're at the brink of war, where they're not sure, where they're not certain, where they were like wondering what we should be doing, and that sounds really logical and rational to go and take the help from the superpower of that time, Isaiah comes to them and saying, "For us a child is born. But when?" About 700 years later. Yeah, you are at the war now, you are worried now, you are not really sure what's going to happen tomorrow, but a child is going to born to us about 700 years later. Wow. No wonder they never heard what he had to say. Right? If we sit here and if someone says, "Oh, I'm really thirsty, oh yeah, I wait for 2 hours, let me finish my sermon," 6-page sermon this morning, by the way. if your turkey is on timer, do let me know. And you would, then you'll get to drink water after 2 or 3 hours. You would say, "Now I'm just leaving this space and getting my water." But then what this verse meant to them then? Because what it meant to them then means to us today. Now, people of Israel, the whole people of Israel, this whole nation together, had experienced God's grace upon them. You know, I really wonder the kind of experiences these people had and seen and experienced, we long to see those experiences, and we have seen those experiences in our life, in some small snippets of what God does in our life. But then these people were in slavery under Egyptian, who was the big super nation, superpower of that time, and there was no nation on the earth of that time. And God stood by them, and these slaves were able to fight them back, and God brought them out of Egypt, and this was their history. They got to eat meat in the wilderness. That's the amazing blessing, right? If you love your meat. Oh God, give me meat and you get the meat, right? And they got to eat manna. They got water from the rock and all that stories. And they from being a small slaves under a big superpower, they became an established nation. Not just established nation, under King Solomon, they became one of the richest nation because Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom and he really, under his leadership, is in the nation of Israel flourished. But what happened? They said, nah, we are bored. We want to worship other gods. So they worshipped other gods. And then there was division. They had two nations and all that. But then the question is, why this verse was relevant to them then? What was Isaiah trying to achieve? What was Isaiah going to tell them? Or what was Isaiah telling them? My dear friends, this verse had future implications. Yes, we are on the other side of history when this verse is fulfilled. Now, it is much more easier for us to sit here and say, oh, now we understand because they were expecting Christ and Christ was meant to be doing this. But for those people, they had already experienced God, who was a wonderful counselor, who gave them great wisdom. When Solomon asked, God gave him wisdom. So God was there to guide them. They had experienced of a God who was everlasting Father. Was it everlasting? Everlasting Father, who was there with him every step in their every step, who brought them from slavery and established them as a nation. They had experienced mighty God who did great, wonderful things for them. And in doing that, you know, again, when I was putting this verse in, not that I'm good at maths, but it's like everlasting, a wonderful counselor plus everlasting Father plus mighty gods equals Prince of Peace. Because naturally, when you have a good counsel to give, to tell you what to do, when you have a Father who guides you, when you have a God who leads you and protects you, you would certainly have that peace. Peace that world cannot offer at any cost. And that's what Isaiah was telling them. Wait, my dear friends, you have all the resources that you need. Yes, a child is going to come because that is to fulfill, that is to give you an extra layer of protection. Just because your faith is weak and you don't trust him a lot and you divert a lot, don't follow Google Map properly and you end up taking wrong turns. That's the reason I'm going to give a child, so that you know what to look forward for, but then you have experienced this. But that was for them. What is for us this morning? Christ came, we celebrate Christmas, slowly world is wiping away Christ out of Christmas. Christ has been replaced by every other thing that is out there in the market. The style of wishing on Christmas holidays or Christmas season is turning into be happy holidays. And it is just going to be, it is just becoming more and more marketing stuff. But what is it for us today? How this verse where it says that he is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, relevant for us today? It is relevant primarily because we have a record of its relevancy. When we read the Bible, we install the system. Sorry, I use a lot of technical stuff. But then we installed the system. You know, back in those days, I keep telling this, if you had to enable your computer to read a photo, you had to install a software. And it would not recognize a picture file if you have worked in those computers. Back then when the monitors were huge and bulky. Now they've gone thin, so you don't. But then you have to read God's word to understand and know its relevancy in our life today. God's word is relevant, or Jesus is relevant, because he walks and leads us even today in our life. I'm sure, given an opportunity, and if we take a lot more time, we would all have stories to share that how God led us in our difficult times. How God gave us wisdom in times when we were not sure what we should be doing. You know, back in India, when I had this opportunity, when I had a knock on my door, and one of the senior ministers walked in and I said, "Hey, Satyajit, would you like to become a minister for the church?" When he knocked on my door, I was a lecturer in an engineering college. And when I gave my resignation to my college, my principal asked me, saying, "Okay, I understand you're getting into religious work. How much salary will you be getting there?" I said, "That's an interesting question." I said, "About 25 to 30% of what I'm getting now?" And he said, I have still not accepted your resignation officially. If you want to take it back, you take it." But I had this strong assurance from the Lord saying that this is the path I want you to walk upon. And I seriously prayed, you know. I gave that and I was going home on my bike. And I prayed to God. I said, "God, I took this step. Please never bring me in a place where I would be regretting this." Thus far, he hasn't. Because he guides. He gives us his wisdom. He leads us because he is wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. And that brings us peace. The problem with peace is, we look at the worldly concept of peace. That is a sum of fame, money, and a good job, and so many other things. And we think, that will give me peace. That doesn't. There are so many people out there in the world today who has a lot of money, who has a big, big fame. I can name few artists that I really like. They committed suicide because they had a fame, they had a huge fan following. But they committed suicide because they had no peace. My dear friends, as we celebrate Christmas, as we would go back and cut through our turkeys or whatever lovely food and dinner that we would be having this afternoon, let's ask ourselves, how is Jesus relevant to me today? And how am I sharing the story of he being relevant to me with others? Let his story be seen and heard through our life. Let's just spend a few minutes quietly praying for someone here, or praying for someone in our family or in our friends who might need to hear this story of Jesus being relevant to them. Maybe if you're someone here this morning who thinks, "Oh, I don't need to pray for someone, but it's just for me as well." Pray for yourself as well and ask God to help us to see him being relevant to us. Let's just spend a few minutes in quiet.